One of the sayings that Jesus, that is preserved in the Bible, is one of the most impactful sayings for me. I think we had it a couple of weeks ago, when Jesus says that he is about to go and he is going to get crucified, and that he will be killed, and that on the third day he will rise. Now, Peter, being a normal guy, says what is normal. He says, "Oh, may that not happen to you." Now, I think that's normal. But notice Jesus' response. He says to Peter, "Get behind me, you Satan." Now, Jesus wasn't saying that Peter was Satan. But unknowingly, Peter was doing exactly the same thing that the devil had done when Jesus was in the desert. The devil had tried to convince Jesus that he didn't need to go the hard way. He said, "Look, if you worship me, all of these things are mine. I'll give them to you." And the temptation was, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to get crucified. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Easy. Do it the easy way. And trust me, Jesus was not enthusiastic about getting crucified. He wasn't at all. But it's not that impresses me. It's what he said right after that. One little sentence. And I keep on thinking about it. When Jesus said, "You are thinking like man does, not like God." Now think about that. Here Jesus is saying that something that we would consider normal is not normal when it's applied to God. Now, I don't think Jesus was saying we should want to suffer and all that stuff, but I think that Jesus was saying there are things that are greater than just your own hide. There are things that are more important. And so you are thinking like man does, not like God. And notice today's gospel is the same thing. He says, "I'm going to get killed." The apostles don't even look at it too much. They were afraid to ask him. And what are they doing? They're arguing as to which one of them is the best one of all. Because they've seen Jesus, and Jesus can do all kinds of powerful things. And I think that they're presuming, hey, if anybody ever threatens him, he's going to use his miracle powers, and he's going to get out of it. Except that when Jesus gets down to the house, he puts a child in front of them. And the child, basically, one of the things you have to understand, we live in a society that values children a lot. In the ancient world, children were not valued. 60% of all children did not live beyond the age of 13 because of all kinds of issues. There wasn't medicine. The people who were revered were the elderly because they made it. Children, and as a matter of fact, in Rome, if you were a Roman man, you could have any of your family members, especially your children, you could have them killed with no problem because they were your property. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because the whole point of being a Christian, and I'm going back to that sentence, you are thinking like man does, not like God. The whole point of being a Christian is to change the way you think. I want to say that again. The whole point of being a Christian is to change the way you think and to begin, and St. Paul says it in one of his epistles. He says, put on the mind of Christ. The point of being a disciple. Now, please understand, I put place a lot of value on that word, disciple. A disciple is a student. And if you're a student, what are you studying? You are studying how to think like Jesus. That's what you're studying. And what's the point of studying how to think like Jesus? To allow your mind to slowly develop in the way that Jesus thinks. Not the way that we think in terms of separated from God. Now, the question is, how do you do that? How do you accomplish, and actually you don't, God accomplish it in you, but how does God accomplish changing the way you think? And the way it's accomplished is by Mass going to you. Now, I said it backwards. You see, what's important about being a Catholic Christian is not going to Mass. No. It's Mass going to you. Now, what does that mean? Let me explain a little bit what Mass going to you means. When I ask people, do you pray? And you know what 90% of the people say to me? Oh, yeah, I talk to God. I talk to God. Now, folks, I'm not saying you can't talk to God. Talk to God all you want. But talking to God should be less than 5% of your prayer. And the majority of people say to me, well, I talk to God on the way to work and I talk to Him before I go to bed. Do it. That's fine. The problem is that you're skipping 95% of the way prayer is supposed to be. And what's that 95%? God talking to you. Now, by that, I don't mean that you're supposed to sit there and go, and wait for God to talk. He's not going to talk. Okay? Most of the time what you hear is your own interior voice. Now, that can be in tune with God or not, but that's a different issue. How does God talk to you? You see, remember that I just said the point is not for you to go to Mass, but Mass to go to you. A lot of times when I hear Catholics describe their worship, when they come to Mass, all that I hear is, well, you know, we're there, and the priest says a bunch of prayers, and we say amen, and then we do what's called Catholic calisthenics. You know, we stand, we sit, we kneel, we stand, we sit, we kneel. And nobody really knows why we're doing that. But the point is, you're still going to Mass. And Mass is supposed to be coming to you. Now, what do I mean by that? Whenever you pray, the Catholic Church understands that when a prayer is already made up, okay, when it's already written, that prayer is supposed to get inside of you. Now see, when you talk to God, the only person you are listening to is you. You're talking. Talk, 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 talk. Go ahead. But the point is, do you ever listen? And when you listen, How does God talk to you? He talks to you when you read the scriptures. He talks to you when we say a prayer. Like, for example, today I said, let us pray. And then I said a prayer, but I bet you that most of us would have no earthly idea what you said amen to. And remember what amen means. May that happen to me. Every time I say this, I haven't said this in a long time, but it's one of my greater memories. When I was at a youth conference many, many years ago, there was like 4,000 kids, you know, in that youth conference, and the priest was doing the prayers of the faithful. You know, it's when, Lord, we pray for the Holy Father, da-da-da-da-da, we pray to the Lord, and everybody says, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for rain. Lord, we pray for whatever. And everybody says, Lord, hear our prayer. And he had gone about four or five prayers like that. And everybody was going, Lord, hear our prayer. 4,000 people, Lord, hear our prayer. And then in a very monotone voice, he says, Lord, we pray that the roof of this arena collapse and kill us all. We pray to the Lord. And about three quarters of the people said, Lord, hear our prayer. Because nobody was listening. Nobody was listening. And so the point was that they were going to Mass. Yeah, let's get it done. Boy, free Father, come on. Let's get it done. Say whatever you want to say. But the point is that when Mass goes to you, is when the Mass comes inside of you. Let me give you an example. I want you to imagine that you are watering a potted plant. When you water a potted plant, do you just put the hose on the plant and leave it there for 20 minutes on the pot? No. Because the plant can't, the water is supposed to get into the plant, but what do? You put the hose there and you watch, and then when it's enough, you pull the hose away. And what happens? The water comes through the soil. And then you do it once or twice more, depending on how you think that is needed. But then you shut off the hose. Why? Because the whole point of the water is for the water to get down into the soil and to be absorbed by the roots so that the plant can be changed. We mean grow. When the water goes into the root and the root then begins to absorb it and the plant uses it, then it's done its job. The water went to the plant and got inside the plant. That's what Mass, that's what prayer is supposed to do for you. Prayer is supposed to be you listening intently and then allowing that, like water, to get into your soul, into your heart, and to think about it and to chew it. And then when the prayer is finished, you're supposed to say, yeah, may that happen to me. Amen. That's the whole point. And so when I hear people say, well, my prayer life, I talk to God, but I feel dry. That's because you're spending your time talking to Him. And it's okay. But I want you to spend 20 times more time listening to Him. And letting His Word, letting the words in the Scriptures, letting the words in the Mass get inside of you. And then when they get inside of you, then let them think about what you're hearing. And then say, amen. Because when you say amen, what you're saying is, may that happen to me. And it's amazing. That is what will change the way you think. You're not going to change the way you think by going to Mass. Unless Mass comes to you and gets inside of you, nothing's going to happen. And I want you to understand, think about what all I'm telling you to do, all I'm telling you to do is when you come to receive the Eucharist gets inside of you, right? The Word of God is supposed to do the same thing. It's supposed to get inside of you. You are a disciple of Jesus. You're supposed to learn how to think like Jesus. That's the whole point of being a Catholic. Of being a Catholic Christian. And by the way, that's why if you look outside, right outside, the only motto, the only mission statement of this parish is one sentence, transforming cultural Catholics into intentional disciples. You are supposed to be an intentional student of Jesus. And if you're a student of Jesus, what are you trying to study? You're trying to study how he thinks. Why? So that you can begin to think like him. And so when you come to Mass, don't just sit there. Don't just sit there and let, okay, is it over? No. Let Mass come to you. Because it's got to get inside of you. Otherwise, you're not going to change.